Fired FBI Director James Comey will testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Thursday after the Trump administration said yesterday that the president will not invoke executive privilege to stop Comey from doing so. It'll be the first time Comey speaks publicly about his firing last month, which occurred while he was leading an investigation into possible connections between Russia and President Trump's campaign. Joining us now, our political analyst, Democratic strategist Jamal Simmons. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. And Paris Denard, Republican strategist, is back with us as well. Hi, Paris.
Hey, man. How are you?
Doing well and lots to get through. But let's start with this Comey hearing that's coming up. President Trump was asked a few weeks ago at a press conference about Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's decision to appoint a special counsel in the investigation. And here's what he said then.
Well, I respect the move, but the entire thing has been a witch hunt. And there is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign. But I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero. I think it divides the country. I think we have a very divided country because of that and many other things.
So, Jamal, President Trump says it is a witch hunt. What are you expecting from Comey's testimony? And do you think that the stakes are high for the president?
The stakes are very high. And I think what makes them even higher is that for the first time since I don't know when, the major networks are going to be carrying Senate testimony live. So people tuning in to watch Kelly Ripa or whatever show was on in the middle of the day are going to be met with James Comey instead, the FBI director, testifying how the president is being investigated about Russians or the White House aides are being investigated about Russia and whether or not they obstructed justice. This is a major thing for the president to have to navigate through. And I think the White House should be as concerned as any White House should ever be.
Paris, are you concerned as a supporter of President Trump?
You know what, Jeremy, I'm not concerned with what Mr. Comey is going to say because I believe that this testimony is important. I believe that the viewers should recognize the fact that the president could have exercised executive privilege to prevent this, but he chose not to do that. And I think that when you look at both sides of the aisle, there is a lot of people, especially Democrats, who said that there was issues with Mr. Comey and why he needed to go. Senator Schumer said in November that he lost confidence in him. Representative Pelosi said in November 2016 that Comey may not be fit for the job. Hank Johnson, the congressman, said in January that Comey should pack his things and go. And Congresswoman Maxine Waters said that she has no credibility in Mr. Comey. And so what we want to see here is that the truth comes out, and I believe the president will be shown to have been correct in firing him based upon his opinion, the opinion of Rosenstein, and also the opinion of many Democrats.
Just for the record, none of the people that Paris just listed were under investigation by the FBI director. And being the president who's the boss, who's being under investigation by the FBI director, and then firing him after asking him to lay off the investigation of Michael Flynn is a problem. And just also one last point is the president did not just choose not to invoke executive privilege. He probably could not invoke it because he tweets and talks too much about the things that were what should have been privileged.
Well, just briefly on that, you know, at the end of the day, the president could have evoked the executive privilege, and he did not. And the fact of the matter is, when you look at these persons at the FBI, it wasn't just Comey. He was not the only person heading up the investigation. It's the entire department. And so the removal of him does not prevent the truth from getting out about the lack of, in my opinion, proof of evidence of collusion with the Trump campaign and with the Russian
government. Let me ask you about that. And let's put this into context, because we had the firing of Comey, but in under a month, we've also had headlines about the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, setting up back channels to Russia. We had outrage from many people when Trump gave classified information to Russian diplomats in the Oval Office, which he defended. Jamal, does all of this add up to anything? Because it does seem that the response from the White House is, you still haven't shown me that there's any evidence of collusion between Russian hackers or Russia and the Trump campaign.
I said it before, and I will say it again. If they did not do anything wrong, they should stop acting like they're guilty. The president, the way he treated the former FBI director by firing him, the president's son-in-law, who not only did he not reveal that he had these meetings with the Russians when he was supposed to, he asked the Russians not just to have a back-channel conversation, but to do it using Russian resources so that he could hide from American prying eyes. In what world is it okay for U.S. government people to go behind the sitting president's back to try to have conversations with Russians about official matters using Russian resources? Nobody does that.
Well, what world is it okay for the FBI director to use literally fake news from the Russians to go out and with respect to the Clinton investigation and with respect to
what are you talking about there, Paris? What fake news?
Well, I'm talking about the memorandum that came out from the DNC that Wasserman Schultz said she never sent that email or memo to anybody, and it turns out that it was a fake piece of Russian propaganda, which prompted him to willingly to go out and reopen the investigation with Secretary Clinton during the campaign.
So now the Republicans are interested in defending Hillary Clinton's honor on this question? Is that what's happening?
No. All I'm saying is that this is just further proof that Comey was incompetent, and Comey is now acting like a disgruntled employee, and it just goes to show why there are many people on both sides of the aisle that called into question his ability to lead the agency. And now we're going to finally get the truth out about it. But back to Jared Kushner. Jared could have, again, not agreed to testify, not agreed to share information, but he willingly said, I will talk, I will speak, because I have nothing to hide. So I think we're on this constant witch hunt to try to pin them down. But like you mentioned, Jeremy, there's been no proof, there's been no evidence, and I believe this testimony from Comey is going to shed even greater light on that fact.
Okay, well, let's make sure that we get to a couple of other important stories that I want to get your thoughts on.
We could do this all day.
There's more news, right?
Well, one of the big pieces of news was the president's decision to leave the Paris Climate Agreement last week. We spoke with Larry Summers, the former U.S. Treasury Secretary, and here is what he said about that move.
I believe it's the biggest U.S. foreign policy error since the Iraq War. And its consequences will be of even longer duration.
Jamal, let me start with you there. Do you agree with what he said there? And will there be political consequences for that move?
Well, all these things are of a whole, and I think we have to take them all together. And what we're seeing is, like, one, President Trump went to Saudi Arabia, and he said to a bunch of coup leaders and monarchs and other people who are autocrats in their home countries, don't worry about human rights, don't worry about what you're doing in your country. The United States is no longer interested in talking to you about those things. We'll focus on security and economics. Then he went to NATO and did not say that he would make sure that NATO countries would be protected by the United States in invoking Article 5, that attack against one is an attack against all. And then finally, he pulls out of the Paris Agreement. Taking all those things together, what we see is America pulling back from its engagement in the world, pulling back from its historic stance as a leader on human rights and people's rights, and turning in a way that Russia and China and some of the other countries that we've been contesting for the last couple dozen years, turning the way that they do, which is that we are not going to hold people accountable to what they do to their citizens. We're only going to worry about our security and economics.
Paris, how do you respond to that? Do you think the U.S. is pulling back from being a leader around the world?
No, I think what we see in President Trump is trying to make sure that we put America first. But if we're going to get into deals and pacts and agreements, make sure that it's a good deal for the American people, for the American taxpayer, for the workers who are giving this money and need the American jobs and the workforce to be sound and on good footing. And so, look, there's a false notion going around with liberals right now talking about that because the president has pulled out of the agreement, which he was in the right to do, somehow we're not going to have a new agreement. Somehow, when he pulls out of and the Congress votes on repealing and replacing Obamacare, we act as if there's not going to be anything to replace it with.
Well, the Europeans say that there's not, that they're not going to sign on to a new agreement, that's what the Paris Agreement was. That was the agreement.
Well, and the president's going to renegotiate it with them. And if they care, if they truly care about about climate, if they truly care about having something that's sound and that's good, they will come back to the table and do something that is not just good for them, but good for everyone. And that's the president's responsibility.
And don't forget, the president also pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which basically leaves the Pacific Rim trade-wise open to the Chinese. When you take all of these things together, we are not only doing America first, we're doing America only. And this is the kind of thing that will cause us to have long-term strategic disadvantage on the planet.
Well, as a reminder to Jamal, he's the president of the United States of America, not
and
the
he's
president
wrong,
of the world.
And he was elected by a minority of the American public, and he's turning us into an acolyte of the Russian people, and it's a problem for the entire country.
Well, he's elected, and he is the president.
Another reminder is that Hillary Clinton said she would have pulled us out of that TPP as well, but we'll leave that back there. But let me ask you one more thing. We just have about a minute left here. Do you think there's more talk in Washington that the health care bill is not going to make it through the Senate, that there's not the will there to do it among Republicans, and that tax reform may be in trouble, Paris?
Listen, the president is meeting with members of the Republican Senate and the House tonight at dinner. He's going to remind them about the importance of passing a legislative agenda because they all know 2018 is around the corner. So tax reform is something that I hope the Democrats will not stall and be obstructionists on and really come together, do something positive for the American people. But with respect to Obamacare, listen, the Senate has to do something. This is a great opportunity for the Republicans to stand up and say we care and we're going to do something positive for the American people.
And the clock is running out for them to get anything done in the House or the Senate. And I think we're going to be in pretty tough shape as a Trump administration to get anything done here.
That's Jamal Simmons, a Democratic strategist, and Paris Denard, Republican strategist. Here now, contributors both. Thanks so much.
Thanks, you,
Jeremy.